T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your chance to win the 8 o'clock hour prize, $25 taproom credit to New Axiom Brewing. Just for listening, just for dialing, Ryan tries to make it very, very easy for you to win.
I know you're a simpleton much like me, so it's I try to dumb it down
the
for
fewer
you.
Fewer directions,
I don't. I don't want to make that sound bad, but...
No, we keep it simple.
That's right there.
For all of us.
We're all simpletons, Ryan. We don't want to do anything that's really stressful or going to make us think.
I'm not out here trying to throw you a curve or a changeup. I'm just humming BP fastballs down the middle all day. That's what I do. Next time you hear this drop...
I need about 3 for it.
Be caller number...
23.
Caller 23. Man, the text line's going to hate you for selecting that twice in a row.
I don't really care.
Be caller number 23 to 913-576-7610. I will hook you up with $25 to New Axiom Brewing. They just released a peanut butter.
I'm sorry, what?
A peanut butter IPA. Like a milkshake what? Peanut butter IPA.
Really?
It was.
Wow.
Terrific.
Really? Was it thick?
No, I mean, it was a milkshake IPA, so it was sweet. But it wasn't super thick.
Not that thick like a milkshake, though. Like, not the same texture.
No, as
a
but
milkshake.
It did bring all the boys to the yard.
All right. Creamy or chunky?
Chunky. Big, thick chunks of peanut butter. Well,
that sounds
globs
good.
Globs of it in there.
I like that.
No, that's not true. It was nice and thin. It had a good mouthfeel. Creamy mouthfeel, I believe, is what you want me to say right here.
Was there chocolate mixed in as well or not?
No, it was just...
peanut butter.
Just the peanut butter.
Cool.
You mentioned 23. That would be 2023, right? I'm guessing that's where you got the 23 today. Not just Jordan and LeBron. But the 2023 NFL draft taking place in Kansas City. As Kansas City's been awarded that draft. Again, we'll have an 8:30 press conference live here on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up in 30 minutes with more on that. But is it another audition? Vesco. Putting on big events, right? We've done it. We're perennially putting on basketball events.
Mm-hmm.
We had an all-star game.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously hosting playoff games of meaningful stature.
But I don't think those are big events.
Those are just regular games.
Yeah.
Putting on that big event, is this another audition for that could open the door for other stuff too?
What other stuff could we get though now, Josh? Because I feel like right now, like this is the example that I'm going to use because I think it makes the most sense. I think right now when it comes to big events in our town, we're landlocked. We can't do much more than what we have right now.
Now, I think we could show we have...
From a sports standpoint maybe a Republican convention or Democratic
convention.
I think
we could show infrastructure, obviously hotels. If they've been an issue, they're no longer going to be an issue. Those types of things. I think there's plenty to prove in that regard. And then in terms of sporting events, I think anything from a larger or different standpoint from a major sporting event are going to require more direct sports buildings to have that happen.
Correct. Right? I mean, to get anything bigger, we need
a Super Bowl,
dome.
You're going to need a roof.
Right.
A Final Four, you're going to need a roof.
Correct.
On that same venue. And I think to get another All-Star game, it would have to be when there's a downtown ballpark.
Right. And when that is built, we'll have another All-Star.
There's not going to be another All-Star game at Kauffman.
Right. That's right.
Right?
Correct.
Assuming, and you and I both are working under the same assumption, there will eventually be a downtown ballpark.
Right.
And when that happens, that's the next time you would see an All-Star game.
That's right.
They open a park like that, you're going to get an All-Star game.
Exactly.
Kansas City's going to get an All-Star game. So I think there's stuff to prove that we can fully do the other stuff, but maybe to take the ultimate next step, it requires two major venue upgrades slash changes slash new?
Well, there's a couple of ideas that I want to throw out there, and I want to get thumbs up, thumbs down from you guys on this. I've been saying all along, and I'm going to continue to say this, and you've heard me say this before, Josh and Ryan, you know that I've said this. There is going to be a downtown ballpark. It is going to be privately financed from everything that I'm hearing. So it's not going to be left up to the voters to decide whether or not we want the downtown ballpark. It's going to happen. From what I understand, it's going to be privately financed. So that raises the question then, what do we do from a football side of things? And again, I think a lot of folks always want to couple the Royals and Chiefs together as one entity. They are not. The Chiefs will not be moving to downtown Kansas City because the Royals are moving downtown. People have to stop, because I even got it yesterday. I'm not in favor of the Chiefs moving downtown. Never said the Chiefs were moving downtown. The Chiefs aren't moving downtown. I think moving a football stadium downtown and downtown football like we've seen in Baltimore and St. Louis and places in between, terrible, terrible for football. You don't want to have football downtown. But once the Royals leave that area out there at the Truman Sports Complex, one of two things can happen. That land can become vast parking for the Kansas City Chiefs, which I think is something ultimately that they want. Maybe they use that to build something like Patriot Place out there at Arrowhead Stadium. And maybe then you start to come up with a way and decide that since the Royals have privately financed with other folks a stadium downtown, how do we privately finance a dome for the top of Arrowhead Stadium? Or
I need about a tree fitter.
Or what we could potentially be looking at as well, which I've heard.
More than $350
million, maybe. What else I have heard and people have talked about is potentially building a brand new dome stadium out at the Legends, out by the Speedway. From what I understand, the Hunts have land out there, and that may be an option as well. So I'm looking at you guys. What would be your preference? Because for me, my preference would be to have like a Patriot Place out at the Truman Sports Complex with a hotel and some restaurants and things like that, and dome Arrowhead Stadium. Because I think Kansas City, like I said, is landlocked from the events that we can get because of not having the proper venue to get those bigger events. And I feel like if we get that dome on top of Arrowhead, or if they end up building a new dome stadium out at the Legends or whatever the case may be, we're going to have the opportunity, Josh, especially with the Final Four, to be in that constant rotation because the NCAA loves Kansas City. Kansas City obviously used to be home. More college basketball events have taken place in Kansas City than anywhere else. We would definitely be in that rotation of hosting Final Fours, and it would also get us the opportunity to have a Super Bowl and potentially be in the rotation for Super Bowls if we continue to put on good shows and good events here in Kansas City like we've done in the past. So I think this NFL draft, unless we get a dome or a roof on top of Arrowhead, that will be probably the biggest event that we can attract from a sports standpoint to Kansas City based on what we have to offer.
For sports venues.
Now, I know the World Cup will most likely be here and whatnot, but that's a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing, right? I'm talking about things that we could potentially be bidding for and being involved with and trying to get to our city. So that's what I think has to happen next for us to get anything bigger than the NFL draft. So where would you rather build a stadium in Kansas or Dome Arrowhead? I mean, because I think that's the next step, guys. We have to start thinking bigger now and outside of the box, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to keep it where it is, but I've always wanted more stuff there. I think everybody has,
yeah,
right?
Right.
But if more stuff's never going to be built there, are you okay with it just being a stadium?
Right. Yeah, I think so at this point.
And I think Kansas City, I think Chiefs fans would say yes. We're okay with it. There hasn't been anything there yet.
Right.
With there, I guess it's okay for there to be now. Now, if you didn't have the baseball stadium in that footprint,
right,
maybe you'd have the opportunity to build some things within that footprint, that area, to enhance what you're already doing there.
Would they be willing to give that land to the Chiefs, and would the Chiefs be willing to invest that money to do that? Because I wouldn't ask the city to step up and build something like that. Hey, the Royals are moving downtown. They're privately financing their own stadium with other groups downtown. They're out. That footprint is now yours. What do you want to do with it? Whatever you want to do, you can do with it. You can take the cheap way out and just pave it over and use it as parking, or you can think outside the box and create a Patriot Place type of thing.
My preference would be to keep it there, yeah.
And my preference would be to keep it there and have the Hunt family invest in there and create a Chiefs Place where you have a hotel, You have a Dave and Buster, you know, things like that where it could be utilized all year round. And on game days, have a great place for people to kind of hang out before the game and really add something to the community and add something.
My only question is, and I don't have the answer, why has that never happened before? I'm not putting it on them. Why has there never been anything around there?
Are you talking on the outside
before
of the sports
here,
complex?
When I used to come down, there was nothing around there. And I've lived here for 15 plus years now. Nothing is ever. So it's like, are we just beating our heads against the wall
to say that
something could ever evolve there besides two stadiums and a bunch of parking?
But I think once the Royals get downtown, it lends itself to a particular plot of land that's never been available before. And I think we're lazy, Josh. We just are. As human beings, we're lazy. I don't want to walk up that hill and go to the Denny's. But if that Denny's was right there in that parking lot.
I mean, I love Taco Bell, but I mean, that's it.
You know,
Taco Bell, a Subway.
Yeah, Burger King recently went in out there.
Danny Duffy Denny's. Took like a 10-mile walk and the entire city lost its mind.
Yeah, exactly.
What's this weirdo doing walking?
Right, yeah. We don't want to walk here. We don't want to walk anywhere, quite honestly. So if you build something like that, though, on that track of land that will now be available, I think it's a different conversation. If the Hunt family were smart, they would do something like that. Absolutely do something like that. That could be a big-time entertainment area. And look, it's no secret they want to use the Arrowhead area for more than just 8 football games a year. They're bringing concerts. They're bringing the Bigfoot stuff. They're bringing all kinds of different events. Soccer events are coming this summer.
The Bigfoot stuff.
Monster Jam. Yeah. They're bringing the soccer event. Juventus or something is coming this year to play soccer. So there are thoughts and desires by the Chiefs to make Arrowhead a 365-day-a-year venue, and they could do that by, once the Royals leave, building that entertainment complex out there, owning that, flipping a roof on top of Arrowhead, and let's go and let's play ball, and we're one of the best venues and cities in the world. With a new airport in the center of the country, Kansas City would be desirable for Super Bowls and Final Fours all the time.
Again, the news conference coming up at 8:30 about Kansas City getting the 2023 NFL Draft. Join us tonight at Big Whiskey's. We'll be out 4 to 6 for their happy hour. Just hanging out. It's a meetup. Come join us today. 135th and Antioch in Overland Park at Big Whiskey's.
Don't forget to tell me to raid the prize closet before
that's
we leave.
True.
Raid
yes.
the prize
yes.
closet.
Yeah,
that's
that
your
can't be
note.
The only one.
20 beers, 150 whiskeys, $5 appetizers. Hope to see you there. 4 to 6, Big Whiskey's, 135th and Antioch. Ryan in Blue Springs, your winner this hour. He's going to New Axiom Brewing. That was our 8 o'clock hour prize. Coming up next, we're going to chat with former Royal David Cone. He'll join us next.
Fesco in the morning.
We got a busy next 45 minutes.
Yeah, we really do.
Your chance to win $1,000 coming up at 8:30. Mm-hmm. Also at 8:30, we're going to head down to Union Station for the press conference about the 2023 NFL Draft coming to Kansas City. That's coming up at 8:30. So we'll get to that. And, of course, the commercial-free half hour, 8:30 to 9. All kinds of stuff we'll get to based on how long the news conference lasts down at Union Station. We'll get the latest on the draft coming to Kansas City in 2023. And also, oh, by the way, Fesco, we're going to chat with a former Royal.
Yeah, we are. A former Royal, a former Met, a former Yankee, a former Blue Jay, former Rockhurst Hawklet. His name is David Cone. How are you doing today, David? You doing well?
I'm doing great. It's great to be on. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, man, we appreciate it. We appreciate it. The Yankees are coming into Kansas City this weekend, so that's exciting as well. And for you, I'm thinking to myself as I'm watching some of these interviews that you've been doing on this book tour, what made you decide to say, you know what, it's time to sit down and write a book about everything? Why did you have that kind of moment in your life?
Yeah, you know, I really wasn't lucky to do a book, but Jack Curry, who's a great writer, formerly with the New York Times, now my colleague at the YES Network, approached me about doing it. And he's such a good friend, and there was such a trust factor with him that I thought, after 10 years as a broadcaster, then, you know, it was kind of an interesting idea to go back and revisit some of the things I went through and some of the different perspectives I have now. And certainly what goes on in the mind of a pitcher, from a kid that grew up in Kansas City all the way through, that ended up playing on some world championship teams. You know, we thought maybe it was a good time to revisit some of those things. And I'm certainly glad at this point that Jack approached me and talked me into doing it.
I think one of my favorite things about you is when people go, you know, we didn't play high school baseball. And I go, well, yeah, because this high school didn't have a team. I mean, so like, do you ever have to, like, remind people, like, I would have played, but Rockhurst didn't have a team at the time?
Yeah, it's so true. When I get that question, especially from people in New York, they think I grew up in a barn, you know, in Kansas somewhere. So it's a long conversation every time when I tell them, you know, it's just the era. During that era, you know, a lot of the parochial schools in Kansas City area did not field a baseball team for budgetary reasons, and that pushed me to the Van Johnson League in Kansas City, which was, you know, obviously a great league. I sponsor a team in that league now, the BJ Raiders, and it was a college league, as you guys know. I mean, it was 21 and under, and I was 15 years old playing against that competition. And it was the Big Eight back then. It was University of Missouri and Kansas and some Iowa State players. And, you know, I just kind of held my own as a youngster trying to play against college kids.
Well, as you get older, you could just say, yeah, I didn't need high school baseball. I mean, you can totally change the story if you want, yeah. Right?
I'm going to steal that. Thank you. I'm going to definitely use that.
I was too good for high school baseball.
I didn't need it.
Yeah. So you grew up, obviously, here in Kansas City. But I think no matter where you grow up, if you get drafted by your hometown team like you did with the Royals, that's got to be cool, man. Like every kid dreams of playing Major League Baseball. But just to get drafted by their hometown team, how awesome was that?
It was incredible. You know, I still remember – you know, making my major league debut at Royal Stadium back in 1986. And just the feeling of running in from the bullpen in relief. I think Brett Faber had been pitched that day. And, you know, it felt like I was running underwater. It was just a surreal feeling for a kid that not only grew up in Kansas City, but I was a diehard Royals fan. I listened to every game on the radio. Denny Matthews and Fred White were an integral part of my childhood, and I had a little transistor radio that I had by my bed. And, you know, I was a kid that just loved the Royals, especially those Royals teams of the 70s that battled with the Yankees 4 out of 5 years and finally beat the Yankees in 1980. I mean, I could remember those games as if they happened yesterday, and it was a big part of my childhood growing up in Kansas City as a Royals fan.
We're talking with David Cone here on 610 Sports Radio. So when you see Denny, do you kind of still get starstruck by that? You're like, man, that's Denny Matthews.
I do, you know, and obviously I know Denny very well now. And every time I see him, I make sure I seek him out and talk to him because his voice was just a big part of my childhood. I can still remember some of his calls. He's so understated. And when you look at a lot of the radio personalities that cover Major League games, it seems like they have a signature call or that they are, you know, almost to the point of self-promoting. And Denny Matthews was just the opposite of that. He was so understated. He just called the game. It was something that really struck me as a very humble guy, but a Hall of Fame career nonetheless.
Full Count is the name of the book now out by David Cone and Jack Curry. From a Royals perspective, you mentioned kind of growing up a fan, being drafted. It feels like to me when I go back and look at your career, and you had a great career, but I'm like, man, I wish you'd have had more time as a Royal. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, absolutely I do. I mean, I was devastated when I was first traded by the Royals to the Mets. And I thought I was going to make the team. I thought I was going to be the fifth starter. And you know, that was supposed to happen. It was supposed to be me and Brett Saberhagen, and it was and Mark Gubiza and Danny Jackson, and the Royals were loaded with great young pitching back then, and we all dreamed about being together on the big league level. And Mark Gubiza was my minor league roommate, and Brett Saberhagen as well was a good friend growing up in the minor league system. So we all expected to be together, and you know, without a doubt, you know, I was crushed, you know, when that first trade came.
I saw Ed Hearn a couple of weeks ago out at a NASCAR event. I was actually, like, driving around Kansas Speedway, and he was going to drive around. Then he realized he couldn't fit in the car because he was so big. But, like, I'm looking at him, and all I can think about is you, David. I'm like, you were traded for David Cone. What the hell? Like, why did they make that trade? Why, looking back now, why do you think that trade went down?
You know, we kind of cover this in the book a little bit. You know, there's a lot of Royals stuff in the book, especially the early days growing up and then my minor league days with the Royals. And, you know, I was kind of a flaky kid. You know, I sort of admit some of the behavior issues I had. I threw a lot of temper tantrums. I was real headstrong. And I really battled with a lot of the minor league pitching coaches with the Royals because of my style. I like to drop down and throw sidearm. I kind of wrapped my wrist and really tried to generate a lot of spin on the baseball. And I tried to emulate pitchers like Louis Tiant. And the Royals really kind of pushed back against me and said they really tried to change me and saying that style wouldn't work on the big league level. And you're going to hurt your arm if you keep trying to throw sidearm, and especially sliders from down low. And, you know, that was just part of my style. And I think I got a reputation for being a little headstrong and hard to coach in the Royals system. And, you know, I really believe that was part of the reason why when push came to shove and it was time to make a trade that I was included in that original trade to the Mets.
All right, seeing the Royals win the World Series in 2015, what was that like for you?
That was great. I mean, my family still lives in Kansas City. I'm coming this weekend to cover the game for the Yankees. I stay with my brother when I come to Kansas City. So, yes, I got a firsthand view of what that meant to the city. And, you know, I really think that, you know, even though there's some great Royals teams of the 70s, and that's my sweet spot growing up, but that 2015 World Series championship was as good or as big as any other team or in Royals history, in my mind. And that's saying a lot, because those George Brett teams, led teams of the 70s, were great teams. But the reception and the parade after that World Series championship and how the city reacted just was heartwarming, and something that as a longtime Kansas City native and my family who's still there, boy, they just really reveled in that championship and enjoying, you know, the aftermath and all the celebrations on that team.
Well, I'm going to put you on the spot for a minute. I know you're a big wiffle ball guy. July 12th, we're doing a wiffle ball tournament for Dayton Moores Foundation. Can we get you to play? You want to come and show us how it's done?
Well, I really wish. I love it. I love playing wiffle ball. I'm obviously, and my schedule's a little tied up with doing the broadcasting for the Yankees. But boy, if I had time and I was around, I definitely would participate, man. I absolutely love wiffle ball.
I got a hit off of Dennis Leonard a couple of years ago. My greatest sports moment ever. So I'm going to carry that one to my grave. David, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. I'm sure it was fun to talk a little Royal stuff instead of doing all the same Yankee conversations you've had everywhere, right?
Absolutely. It's such a big part of my childhood. It's great to be on with you guys.
You're great to have you. David Cone with us here on 610 Sports Radio, and he'll be in town for the games and he'll also be doing a book signing at Rainy Day Books on Saturday night from 7 to 8:30 over here in Fairway, so you can get a copy of David Cone's book and meet David Cone from 7 to 8:30 on Saturday night. Full Count, The Education of a Pitcher, and he does reveal some, you know, interesting stuff, some mistakes he made along the way, and some really good stories. And so I think it's a book worth getting. And if you want a chance to meet David, Saturday from 7 to 8:30 at Rainy Day Books.
Your chance to win $1,000. Be listening for 1,000 on the 30s coming up in just a couple of minutes. Our big story, which today, of course, is the Kansas City awarded the 2023 NFL Draft. We're going to go down to Union Station for a live press conference coming up in just a couple of minutes as well. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
It's 1,000 on the 30s. Text the code word TREE to 72881, TREE, T-R-E-E, TREE, to 72881. You could be the $1,000 cash winner in the national contest. 610 Sports Radio, the only sports radio station in Kansas City, giving you a chance to whip the $12,000 each weekday. Listen on the 30s from 7 to 7. Your next chance coming up at 9:30. Complete rules at 610sports.com. TREE, T-R-E-E, TREE, to 72881. Lot to get to between now and 9 o'clock. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. The Kansas City area getting the 2023 NFL Draft. It's our big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
Brought to you by Spring Venture Group on Fesco in the Morning.
Big story brought to you by Spring Venture Group, a company who is reimagining the relationship between sales, data, and technology. Find out more at springventuregroup.com. We're going to head down to Union Station, the official presser involving Kansas City to host the 2023 NFL Draft. Here's Kansas City Mayor Sly James.
This is a great time for celebration, and we're going to celebrate, but it's really the beginning of the work. And the record really should reflect that I played a small role in this whole endeavor. I was a member of the team. I think in this particular case, I was subbing in for a right guard with an ankle injury. I certainly wasn't the quarterback. The quarterback is sitting right over there in Kathy Nelson, who has done so much for this community. There's already been a whole lot of hard work done. I don't think people really and truly understand the amount of effort and work that goes into something like this. This lady has been working on this for longer than a year or more to try to get this done. And it's been intense at times, and it's required the efforts of Mark and Greg and others joining in to make sure that it happens. So for the people standing with me today, I want to say thank you to all of them for their efforts, and I want to say that now we really have to get to work together. It's a well-deserved celebration today, but the work is really just beginning. Great news like this shows us exactly what this city can and is becoming. We have grown so immensely over the last 10 or so years. It started with the work of Mayor Kay Barnes when she decided that it really was time to renew downtown, and it's continued. And that's important to events like this, and those events and the effort and the results of those events will be felt in every corner of this city. Make no mistake, this is going to be one of the biggest events in the history of this city. There is no other time when we will have this many people coming into this city from out of town. It'll rival the Royals Parade, but the Royals Parade was mostly regional people. This will be people from all over the country. Public and private sector, KC Sports Commission, the city staff, Visit KC, Greater Kansas City Chamber, the chiefs and civic leaders, everybody will be engaged in this and engaged in this in a serious way. This has been a team effort from the beginning. It will be a team effort until we finish sweeping up the dust off the grounds outside where the event will be held. Our team includes every resident of this city. We have a reputation around the country and the world for being the nicest city around. And we need to continue that. We need to always act like this. Everybody in this city will be a host to the people coming into this city. And I would expect us to live up to our reputation as the most hospitable area and city of the country. We've got the nicest people. We're going to have an opportunity to show it on a worldwide stage. Really what we have to do here in Kansas City, and I can't wait to share it with a couple of thousand people, what we really have to do is just be ourselves and let our personality show. We've got every asset that we need. We've got everything that anybody could want. We're going to put it all on display across, around this entire world. So it's really with great pride and a whole hell of a lot of excitement that I'm happy to say that Kansas City is thrilled to be the host of the 2023 NFL Draft right here in Kansas City.
Bravo, bravo.
So I'm really happy to hand this off to a man who I'm very proud to call a friend, a man who I've shared a few adult beverages with, mostly scotch. He gets to buy. Look at him, he can afford it. Greg Graves is
Ring
a man who has devoted a lot of energy to this city in his professional life and in his civic life. He's been a person behind a lot of causes. He's been a person who's contributed his time, his energy, and his treasure to make Kansas City better. So with no further ado, Mr. Greg Graves.
You're listening to a live press conference on a Union Station. Kansas City getting the 2023 NFL
Farmer
Draft.
James, for those remarks. Good morning. Literally, may I ask you, I don't think everyone in Kansas City always knows this, but we have the best sports commission director in America in Kathy Nelson.
No question.
I mean, think about it. We're the 31st biggest metropolitan area in America. And I wouldn't change that for the world. But we consistently host Sweet 16s, national championships in multiple sports, Big 12 championships, World Series parades, a Major League Baseball All-Star game, and now the second biggest prize in the NFL. Kathy, you and your team are owed a big thank you from Kansas City. Someone should double your pay. Literally, may I ask you, is there anything Kansas City shouldn't aspire to at this point? We have a number one ranked museum, a nationally renowned repertory theater, recently ranked the number five academic hospital in America. Barbecue, streetcars. Just this home, one of the greatest turnaround stories in our nation's history. We knew a few years ago, and I'm glad the NFL knows it now, that we can do this. We know we can fill this space. I've got the same picture at home on my wall that I'll bet a lot of you do on yours. Hundreds of thousands of Royals fans as far as the eye can see. Our only concern, quite frankly, is the Thursday night crowd for the draft, knowing that the Chiefs will be picking last for the third year in a row. Actually, I know we can fill this building, the big tent, and Memorial Hill with absolute red. We will allow a few Bronco and Raider fans to attend, but only if they buy the most expensive hotel rooms in town. We will also need to pay for this. We are different than most cities. It is our intention that we will pay for this week-long party with a majority of private and philanthropic dollars. And I have no doubt that the Kansas City business and philanthropic community will step up as it always has. So congrats, Kathy. Congrats, Kansas City. So now let's hear from the person I hate to stand next to for so many reasons, Mark Donovan.
Thank you, I think. I appreciate you, Greg. So May 22nd, 1963, Lamar Hunt, in partnership with Mayor Atrio Bartle, Jack Stedman, announced that he was moving the Dallas Texans. That he was moving the Dallas
Mark Donovan, CEO of the Chiefs.
56 years to the day, May 22nd, 2019, our chairman, Clark Hunt, stood next to Commissioner Goodell and announced that the NFL was bringing one of their biggest events to Kansas City in the NFL draft. It's a full circle story, but I would tell you the one thing to take away from that in talking to Clark and talking to the Hunt family, Lamar is looking down and smiling right now. Amen. He is proud that all of the impact that this franchise has had on this region, all of the cooperation between this city and this franchise, and all of the support of the entire Chiefs Kingdom makes things like this possible. You've heard or read the numbers. Nashville had a $224 million economic impact, $130 million of direct spending. 47.5 million viewers watched the draft in Nashville. The draft was broadcast in over 113 nations globally. It is an enormous opportunity for all of us, and we're excited to be a part of it. I want to go back to a different date. November 15th, 2017. For months and months, a team of us were working together to put together a bid to hopefully win the right to host the draft. On that day, as many of you have done, a team of us, including Kathy, including Troy Schulte, myself, members of the Chiefs organization, the Sports Commission, boarded the 6 a.m. flight from MCI to LaGuardia, made our way into downtown Manhattan, and presented to a team of 15 or 20 committee members from the National Football League. These were the people who were going to decide whether we got this opportunity. And Kathy and Troy and I laid out a vision for what we thought the draft could be in Kansas City. And that vision was unique to Kansas City. It was celebrating all the things that make this town special. And I got to tell you, sitting in that room, I was very proud to be part of that. But we killed it. We did a fantastic job. Kathy and Troy were on point the entire meeting. Every question was answered. I saw the faces of the New York League employees who were sort of surprised that every time they said, well, could you do this? Either Troy or Kathy or I would say, yep, we'll figure that out. That's the way this town works, and we're proud to be a part of it. Now, we left that meeting and didn't win the bid. They gave it to Nashville, who did an amazing job with the draft in 2019. Then we went back and we bid again. We didn't win that bid. And then we finally got to the point where we said, what do we need to do to get this bid? And we all came together and said, what if we did this and what if we did that? And we, every single time we asked the question, somebody came up with, we'll figure that out. We'll get that done. That's the way this town works. That's the partnership this franchise, this city, and our fan base has. I'm proud to be a part of that. We are extremely proud to be part of a league that has the power to bring an event like this to a city that has a franchise. We're extremely proud to be a part of a league that can create a magnitude of an event that will have an impact not only in 2023, but for years and years and years beyond that. We're equally as proud to be part of the team that made this happen. Winning the bid is the first step. We got a lot of work to do between now and 2023 to create the biggest party this town has ever seen. And we have the best quarterback in the league leading that team in Kathy Nelson, who I'm going to bring up now. Thank you.
You're listening to a live news conference down at Union Station. Kansas City getting the 2023 NFL draft. We're going to hear from Kathy Nelson of the Sports Commission next.
Shorter than all of you, obviously. Well, what a great day for our city. Thank you, George, Mayor James, Greg, and Mark for helping us celebrate the efforts to bring the 2023 NFL draft to Kansas City. And I'm truly beyond humbled and flattered to be mentioned personally by such esteemed leaders here in our community. So as Mark said, the process of being selected to host such a prestigious event has not been easy. In 2015, we expressed our interest to the league with a video and a presentation. And over those next few years, we continued to work with the Chiefs and the NFL on a proposed activation plan that included key locations and market-specific enhancements. And as Mark shared, in November of 2017, City Manager Troy Schulte, myself, and Mark headed to the NFL headquarters in New York to present our bid in person. In June of 2018, numerous members of the NFL events team traveled here to Kansas City for a site visit, allowing us to showcase our proposed footprint and visit our highlighted venues. Our team, which includes everyone here at the podium and many, many others, presented our bid materials once again in person. So, over these past few weeks, those conversations intensified, resulting in daily communication with the NFL as we targeted 2023. And final negotiations this past week have brought us here. We know that Kansas City will be a successful host city. We are accessible to people from all four corners of the country. We have deep historic and cultural roots and great food and entertainment options. And how could the NFL owners not select us with our passionate Chiefs Kingdom fan base? We know we will create memories for fans from all teams, right? All teams, as they enjoy a massive free football festival. And we will work with the NFL to create lifetime memories for the draft prospects and their families. I am so, so proud of the effort that put us over the goal line. There are a few specific people I do want to thank. Catherine Fox, I see Catherine in the back, on our Sports Commission team.
Nicely done, Catherine.
Catherine maybe was our backup quarterback most every day, behind the scenes, keeping the details and documents moving forward. And actually, we are working 7 days a week this past month to get this done. And thank you to my entire team at the Sports Commission. They're all here today. It is so fun to work with all of you on all of our projects and events. Our friends and partners at Visit KC, I know Becky is here today. Jason Fulby couldn't be here to join us. But every time we called, you all stepped up, whether it was assisting with the hotel agreement or other details we needed. So thank you for that. We are grateful for collaboration with our great venues and historic sites, such as the National World War I Museum and Memorial, Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts, Sprint Center, Arvis Bank Theater, and of course, George and his staff here at Union Station. And those venues mentioned truly all are part of our bid that we have put forward. We engaged the Kansas City Police Department. Captain Joel Lovelady, I believe, is here today keeping us safe. He's downstairs. Captain Lovelady actually traveled with us to Nashville a few weeks ago to experience the draft in person and to validate the fact that we are fully capable of delivering a safe and secure draft experience in 2023. And special thanks to our city manager, Troy Schulte, who I see hiding in the back, way in the back. Troy, thank you. And to Scott Taylor, I see here today, Scott Wagner. They all stepped up at any time to jump on phone calls with us. Thank you for that, and to brainstorm ideas. And Troy and Mayor James and Scott, we really are grateful for the relationship we have with the city. And of course, Mayor James, who's always willing to listen to me and provide a shoulder at times and provide a high five as well when needed, is a true champion for all of our bids and events. So the past few drafts held in Philadelphia, Dallas, and Nashville had an estimated economic impact of well over $100 million in just those 3 days. We expect thousands of hotel rooms to be booked more than a year out. Restaurants, bars, transportation, retail, and local Kansas City attractions can all expect a major lift in business during draft week. And our work has just begun, as we have all stated, and we will watch and learn from Nashville, now Las Vegas, and then Cleveland. And congrats to my good friends in Cleveland. I know we were all at the table together these last few months, so to our friends in Cleveland, congratulations. The NFL events team will continue to work with us and our planning committee and city leaders on details around such the massive event. So leading up to the 2023 draft, we will finalize the exact dates and the final location of the draft stage and fan experiences, knowing that Union Station and the National World War I Museum and Memorial will be our focus for the backdrop. One of the biggest sports events in our city's history will be here in 2023, which is just a short 4 years away. So I am beyond exhausted, but I am beyond excited, and I am beyond proud. Kansas City is the home to the 2023 NFL Draft.
Kathy, okay?
I think there's some explosion.
Was it fireworks?
Some explosion.
Oh, my.
They were shooting off some confetti and balloons and stuff.
I'm looking at one of the live feeds from one of the TV stations here in town. Local TV station has a live feed of it. So I'm seeing now, hopefully, what that kind of explosion was in the background. But we'll talk to Kathy coming up at about 9:45 this morning.
So here, we heard from Sly James,
right?
Greg Graves from Burns and McDonald's.
Burns and Mac, former CEO of Burns
former
and Mac.
Former CEO there. Mark Donovan, the Chiefs, and Kathy Nelson of the Sports
I
Commission.
I have confirmed Kathy's okay. It was confetti can.
It was confetti
okay.
can. That oh, like that, there it is. Now I'm just watching
it. Like confetti
it, yes.
can to me, so I thought it was going to be okay.
Fireworks in here or whatever.
So we'll delve in with Kathy coming up.
Casey Wolf is very excited. He's there.
Is Casey Metro Wolf there?
Casey Metro Wolf is not, but Casey Wolf is there.
At 9:45, we'll delve into a little more what the work ahead is. There's a lot of, hey, we've only just begun. There's a lot of work ahead.
We've only just begun.
We'll ask her what steps Kansas City needs to take to kind of move this thing forward. A lot of people.
What was your favorite part of the patting on the back?
A lot of people at this press conference are like, yeah, Kathy and her crew, their work is truly just beginning. Like winning the bid is a huge endeavor in and of itself. And then obviously now carrying it through and getting us to 2023 is going to be big as well. So we'll talk to Kathy Nelson coming up at 9:45.
You think Mark Donovan should have broke out into We've Only Just Begun?
If Donovan started to sing, that would have been really good.
We've only just begun.
Sharing horizons that are new to us.
That was lovely. But
sharing signs along the
way. Nobody likes sharing.
Oh, talking it over, just the two of us.
You know way too many of these lyrics.
Working together day by day.
This is what happens when they take the mics away for 20 minutes.
No, it was my, ironically
oh,
enough,
just begun. Yeah.
It was my parents' first dance at their wedding, my in-laws' first dance at their wedding. So my wife and I, when we got married, played that for them at our wedding. So, yes, it's
did
a
you
song.
Sing it together?
We did not. But that'd have
been good.
Do you remember our friend Rhonda that used to work here? Mm-hmm. Josh, remember Rhonda? Mm-hmm. Her and I used to sing that song a lot together as well when we were covering the Chiefs on a daily basis.
I remember Rhonda. She was helpful.
Rhonda was the best. She helped me a lot, yes. I got two questions for Kathy. Number one, what was the big holdup?
Did the two of you sing that on another day together?
We may have.
At the Royals?
We may have.
Okay.
Yes, we may have. we may have.
When you guys were ejected?
Maybe.
Maybe? Okay.
Could have been.
Okay.
Kind of maybe where
there was a time where For those of you who don't know, there's a time that Bob and it turned out to be Rhonda were not welcome.
Yeah.
There was a press conference that went awry.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a great song.
Back in the day.
So, I want to ask Kathy what the big holdup was, because she talked about the holdup, right? And then how much of a factor the airport was. Because we're hearing, now that that's done, the floodgates have opened for Kansas City. I like what Mayor James said on a couple of different things. Number one, he credited Kay Barnes. You can check her out on the KC Bobcast at 610sports.com at the 435 podcast network. She addresses how she came up with the idea and stuff for downtown. Great listen.
God, the Carpenters just have like a doorway into my soul.
Karen Carpenter is one of the best voices ever had, I should say. He says it's going to be one of the biggest events we've ever had here. Probably the biggest event we've ever had here.
So the biggest events in the history of Kansas City.
Right. And I like how he says everyone will be a host and we just have to be ourselves. And he's right about that. Sometimes you go to places and the locals just aren't nice. Here, everybody's going to help. Everybody's going to be a part of this thing. And we've only just begun. Together, we can accomplish anything. That's what team stands for.
We'll find a place where there's room to grow.
There's our musical interlude here on 610 Sports Radio.
When the evening comes.
We don't ever get to play real music.
We're going to use
it. We choose the Carpenters
to
break the rules
with. The Carpenters are fantastic.
Much like the airport that opens up the floodgates, maybe the Carpenters open up a different floodgate.
Get us back to playing some real music.
You never know.
And yes, we've just begun.
That's sweet like a glass of tea on the front porch.
Yeah, I'd like to see like all the folks who spoke today lock arms and just sing that song up there at Union Station.
I'd love that.
Great song.
That
maybe
would be
nicely done.
That would be a great way to end a press conference.
Oh, absolutely.
Instead of
just going to song.
The awkward, everybody kind of just goes about their way. They break out a musical, piece at the end of every press conference.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get Kathy to sing it for us when she comes on 9:45.
From the 816, I hope you guys are tracking the amount of football cliches in each person's speech. That was good. The goal line has been moved. It's the fourth quarter. It's time for kickoff.
There was a lot of really good like cliches. Kathy Nelson was the quarterback.
Right, yep.
Sly James said he felt like he was a fill-in right guard.
Right, yep.
The... The Chiefs will be picking last for 3 years leading up to the...
That was a good one. Greg Graves did a good one. I thought that was good. Greg Graves could have been better if he would have said, we're welcoming the Bronco and Raider fans because we know they'll be picking 1 and 2 that year.
Mm-hmm. And didn't mention Chargers because they won't be here.
They won't be here. They'll be somewhere else.
They haven't found any of them yet. Yeah. So Kansas City will be hosting the 2023 NFL Draft. You heard a news conference live from Union Station right here on 610 Sports Radio. And again, we'll talk with Kathy Nelson of the Sports Commission.
Whose work has only just begun.
It's only just begun. From the 816, who cares about the draft? It's 4 years away.
Might need some Carpenter stuff. Mellow us out again.
Or something.
So we'll...
There it is.
Chat with Kathy coming up at 9:45. Get a little more details of what has to happen next. What are those next steps for Kansas City moving forward?
All right. Some guy just asked me on Facebook, I'm getting married on January 1st. Are you booked yet? I have a gig for you. You've only just begun.
It's good.
The Fesco in the Morning Singers. We're available for weddings.
Yeah.
Me and Kling in leisure suits just doing that like doo-wop.
Oh, yeah. You got a good doo-wop swing going on though, I'll tell you.
It's really just push to the left and then push to the right.
Now, that's really good, though. I couldn't do that.
It's like you're shoveling.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Shoveling.
You did Dancing with the Stars.
Doesn't mean I can dance.
Doo-wop swing.
I had a dance practice last night. It's
that's kind
really
of a lead,
bad.
Though. That's not the background dancing. That's different.
Hanson's wife took care of everything. I just followed.
The background dancers
like
a little
Taylor
bit.
Taylor Hanson?
Our old boss.
Is See, that's when we all get into a line and we do the swing. And then Bob just, he's got to slide forward out of the line to sing it.
We've only just begun.
I apologize to everybody that's going to have that song in your head for the rest of the day.
Talk NBA coaches. Sons of guns.
We'll talk commish coming up in just a couple of minutes. But this half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
This was a good half hour.
It really was.
NFL did determine one thing about Kansas City. They're going to not quite determine another involving Kansas City. We'll discuss that next.
Automotive Outlet.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.